we get to memorize one verse of the Word of the Lord each week. And we do this to glorify God. We also do it to edify our faith. And we continue to doing this to encourage everyone. So the memory verse for this week is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. The first blank, S word is what? Now he who sows seed to the sower. Now he who supplies seed. You don't fool me. I know this stuff. Okay, now he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So let's say it together, okay, with the reference verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Very good, very good. This week's memory verse is Hebrews chapter 4, 12. You want to memorize it. You get to memorize it so that the power of the word of the Lord may do its wonderful, marvelous work in your soul. Let's say it together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Children, have a wonderful time at the kids' house and the little house. And for the rest of you, may I encourage you to utilize the sermon notes. You can scan the code in front of you and help you follow along, okay, by using the sermon notes. I have been a pastor for 28 years. When I graduated from Calvin Seminary, there were, about 70 students in my graduating class, all of whom went into ministry. Today, as I stand, some 28 years later, not even one-third of the class is in ministry. Not even one-third. I Google searched, what are the top three reasons pastors quit the ministry? Number one, the first reason, the number one reason for which pastors quit. You know what that is? The immense burden of stress. Number two, reason for which pastors quit the ministry and leave the calling of God altogether. Number two, you know what it is? You know what it is? Feeling lonely and isolated. Number three reason, pastors quit because being a pastor brings negative effects to the family and home. Now, three most difficult challenges that pastors face. Guess what mine is? Any takers? Any guesses? What do you think your pastor finds the biggest challenge in his ministry? What do you think? Come on, give it to me. Huh? Stress? Nah. What? Number one, stress? Nah. I said no already. Aren't you listening? KP, wake up. Jason. There. None of the above. My biggest challenge in 28 years of ministry is none of the above. I'll tell you what mine is. The lack of transformation in you. I preach the word. I sow the word. I counsel you with word of the Lord, ear after ear after ear after. And I don't see the change. I don't see the growth. That's my biggest challenge as a pastor. Okay? Now, and that's because I believe in the word of the Lord. Its power, what it can do, what it is for. It's for our salvation. It's for our sanctification. We can change in the power of the Holy Spirit, preached from the word of God. And there are things that I want to become of. I want to be like Christ. And it is promised in the word of the Lord, is it not? That it is alive. It is active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It can change us. So why doesn't it change my people? Why does it take so long? I think of one person. Every Thursday morning from 6 to 7, he and I spend time in the word of the Lord. Every Thursday morning for 4 years. And I'm so discouraged, so disappointed. He's not even in my life anymore. Okay, now, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Don't you sow the word of the Lord in someone's life, people that you care about? Like your children, you taught them the way of the Lord through the word of the Lord, and you raised them up in the way of the Lord by teaching them the scripture, the word of God. You scattered the seed. You have sown the seed. And some of your children, they're not following the Lord anymore. You get discouraged. You get disappointed. And you feel like, oh, Lord, what can I do? What should I do? Don't you feel that way? You invite someone to your house church. You invite your guests and friends, your colleagues and coworkers to Mosaic House Church, places like this, Christian events, time after time after time after time. And then after you plant the seed, after you sow that seed, and they hear the word of the Lord, where are they? You get discouraged? You get discouraged? May the Lord, through his word, refresh our souls today. We've been in this series called Jesus on the Move. We are going through the book of Mark, and the tagline is, Jesus, God, is on the move, and will you follow him? And this morning, the title is, the sermon is, From Seed to Harvest, The Power of God's Word at Work. The Power of God's Word at Work. I encourage you to utilize the sermon notes in front of you, and I don't know if we'll have time, but I'm going to go here. Please submit your questions to the number that you see up on the screen for the Q&A. Now, hear the word of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ teaching all of us through three parables. Hear the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. He, Jesus, said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed?" Obviously, no. It's a rhetorical question. No, you don't. Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. That's a warning. Be alert. He also said, here comes a parable, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, that is a key phrase. Church, remember that. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, here comes the second parable. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the words to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. A parable is a teaching technique utilized by the rabbis 2,000 years ago. A parable is really an illustration or a metaphor or even a story that is designed to teach one truth, one thing. There's only one main central point in a parable, okay? Now, the Greek word is parabole. Say parabole. It literally means, translates to throw alongside. So imagine this. So here's the kingdom of God. Christ is revealing kingdom of God is like, and there's a parable, throw alongside. So it's an illustration, it's a metaphor, it's a story to unpack one major theme. Now, having this said, therefore, not every part, not every aspect, not every component in a parable transfers, relates to the reality. That may not happen, okay? So for example, the kingdom of God is like someone sowing the seed, right? So it's like that. Well, let me continue. The theme and the goal, I had a toughest time with this sermon because there are three parables, and I had to come up with one theme. There is a theme, the central idea, and which is this. The word of the Lord is like a tiny seed. Once planted, it grows and bears a harvest. Again, the word of the Lord is like a tiny little seed. Once planted, once sown, it, what? Grows and reaps a plentiful harvest. Small thing becomes something magnificent. Let's take it one thing at a time. So the first point, the word of the Lord unveils Jesus. Would you write that word, unveils? It's the word of the Lord, the Holy Scripture, that unveils the identity and the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23 and 24. Don't miss this, my friends. Christ saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let them what? Again, he says, consider carefully what you, what? He's saying, isn't everything he's saying important? Yes. But he's saying, listen. Don't miss this. If you miss this, you'll miss everything else as well. This is so important, and therefore, my dear friends, may the Holy Spirit convict your soul right now, and you lean in, and you lean on, and hear what the word of the Lord is saying. Well, let's go. How does the word of the Lord unveil Christ? Verse 21. Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? No, of course not. Instead, what do? Don't you put it on its stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has hear, let them hear. Lord Jesus, what are you talking about? What does that mean? So here's a picture. Here's a picture of a lamp. So this 2,000 years ago in Galilee, in Israel, a lamp would have looked like this, made of clay, simple lamp. And inside the lamp is oil, and a wick is dipped into the oil, and you light the wick. Hence, a lamp. Okay? Now, let's do a little illustration. Would you, everyone, close your eyes? Close your eyes, everyone. All of you joining via live stream, close your eyes. Imagine a very dark room. It's so dark, you can't even see your own hand in front of you. Are you picturing it? It's pitch dark. You can see nothing. Imagine there's a tiny little lamp with a tiny little flame. You see it glow in the dark. And as it nears you, through the light, you can see the chair to your right. You can see the bed to your left. In fact, as the light, tiny little lamp nears you, you can see everything in the room. Do you see it? Do you picture it? Now open your eyes. Okay. Very good. Well done. Only one of you had your eyes open, so that's pretty good. Huh? I'll take that any day. Okay. I'm not saying who, but the initials are, never mind. Jesus Christ, in this parable, is saying this. Write these words. Jesus Christ is the light of your soul, and he is the light through which you see your soul. Let me break it down. In Greek, it's not a lamp. It's not just a lamp. In Greek, there is the definite article, the. It is the lamp. When you don't put the lamp under the bed, you don't put a bowl over the lamp, no. So with the definite article, the, he's talking about the light. He's saying, I am the lamp, I am the light. So Jesus Christ is the light of your soul, and through that light, and that light becomes the light through which you see your soul and everything else. Okay. And that's what the Word of God reveals to you. The living Word of God declares, proclaims, announces to you, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what the book of Mark is all about. Mark has one goal, and one goal, the major goal is, I get to tell you who Jesus is. He is more than a prophet. He is more than a rabbi. He is more than a good man. He is the Son of God, the Creator who created you, the Redeemer who saves you, and the Sustainer who keeps your life in his hand. And this is the Word of God revealing, unveiling the identity, the person of Jesus Christ. So he's the light in the darkness. He's saying, you see that light, that tiny little lamp? That's me. Meaning you recognize Jesus is there. You recognize that he is the Lord. You recognize that he is worthy of your worship. You recognize he is in control of your life. You recognize that he deserves your obedience and your love. Because he's the light. And he is the light through which you see your soul. When you're doing that mental image, when you turned to your right, saw your chair, what color was it? Vivian, what color was your chair? Brown. Was it a light brown or was it kind of yellowish brown? Dark brown? Light brown. Okay. I beg to differ. It was yellowish brown. You know why? Because the hue of the lamplight. It was not white. It was more yellowish. And that's because the light, the color of the lamp. Okay? Agnes, when you turned to your left in the exercise, when you looked at your bed, what color was it? Beige. Was it white side beige or yellowish? And the answer is?
Brown.
Yellowish. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. And that's because the color of the light of the lamp. You get it? Through the lamp light, you see everything else. Jesus is the light. He is the lamp of your soul, and through that light you see your soul. So, what do you see? Jesus says, Victor, you are unlovable, for you are a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner, and you are sinning because you are a sinner, and you sin because you sin. You are unacceptable, and yet I am kind, I am gracious, I give you my grace. That's how I see. Through the light of Jesus Christ, I see my soul. Does that make sense? In fact, it's the light of Jesus Christ through which we see the whole world. As in, the world was created by the word of the Lord. And everything in this universe, the stars, you, me, everything on earth, everything under the sea, everything is being held, sustained by the word of the Lord. I just need you to get this. Jesus Christ is the light of your soul, and he is the light through which you see your soul. Are we tracking? Do you get it? So therefore, your values, they're not just conjured up. You see the true values of how life works through the light of the lamp, Jesus Christ. He says, Victor, your life works best in this way, because I'm the manufacturer of your life. I'm the designer of your life. And you do your life my way, it will flourish. You do life your way, you're not seeing the values of the world the way I intended them to be. And when you do it your way, you will not flourish. So please remember that. Christ is the light through which you see your soul. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. And that's because the power of the word of God. Let's read it together, the memory verse. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. As we just read that verse, as we allow the Holy Spirit to have the word of the Lord penetrate your soul, something's happening to you. I don't see it. I don't hear it. But something is happening to you. Now, let's continue. Verse 24. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And you go, Lord Jesus, please explain. Explain this parable. Okay? Now, the word measure, repeated how many times? Twice, because I'm holding two fingers in my hand. Very good. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. Two times the word measure is mentioned. The measure in Greek is meter. So here's the definition. Meter, translated measure, weaves together themes of justice, equity, limitation, proportion, and divine generosity. Whether describing a literal measuring rod, the moral standard by which judgment is rendered, or the gracious allotment of spiritual gifts, the word highlights the precision, fairness, and intentionality of God's dealings with humanity. Meter. That's it. Measure. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you have it, you will receive more. If you don't have it, what you have will be taken away from you. So let me explain this. Let me explain the parable by saying this. What have you received from the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is grace. And that's the measure. When you receive the grace of Jesus Christ, this undeserving gift, he accepts you. He saves you, he loves you, he clothes you, he looks after you, and he wants you to become the person that he intended you to be. You receive that grace, unworthy recipient that I am. Now, with that measure, I measure. Meaning, I give you grace. Meaning, we give grace to one another. There's a young man in my life going through some tough times. He grew up in the church. In fact, at Mosaic House, he was here for many, 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 many years, on and off, like, you know, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, yeah, ETS, etc., Christian. Maybe I see him 3 times a year. Once in a while, he'll call me when he needs stuff. Going through hard times. But this time, something's different. And I figured out what's different about this time. Unlike the past, he is receiving the word of the Lord every day. He says, Pastor V, I'm going to read the entire book of Philippians. Can you go over this with me when I call you tomorrow? Can you help me to understand the seed of the word of the Lord and help me to receive it? Help me to make it grow. Will you do that? So every day, he reads the word of the Lord. Every day, he calls me. Every day, he and I pray over the phone. Okay? And he came across 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not jealous. Okay? And he said, Pastor V, I'm going to try so hard to love my wife like that. I said, oh yeah. I'm going to call him John, okay? So John, how are you going to do that? How are you going to love your wife as a patient, loving, kind husband? I said, I'm going to try harder. Well, John, you've tried it in the past. It hasn't worked, has it? No. So he was getting discouraged. I said, look. What you don't have, you can't give. You got to start with the measure that you received. How has God accepted you in the person of Christ? Is Jesus Christ, is he patient with you? Yes. Is the Lord Christ, is he kind towards you? Yes. Is he for you? So all the traits, the qualifiers of love, he says, oh, I get it, Pastor V. I received that measure. Yes, you have. Now, you give that measure to your wife. Since you have received the measure, you use the measure. And therefore, if you have it, you shall receive more. More grace. You give more grace. You receive more grace. You pass on more grace. But if you don't have it, as in when you deny Jesus Christ, when the Lord of God is preaching to you saying, accept Jesus, submit to him. He is kind to you. He is generous to you. He is gracious to you. And you keep rejecting that measure of grace, even what you have will be taken from you. So, question. Before moving on. Do you see Jesus Christ as the light of your soul? Do you? This is the most important question you need to answer. Let them who have ear to hear, let them hear. Second question. Do you use the measure of grace today? Dealing with your family? Your co-workers, dealing with your pastor, dealing with your parishioners, do you utilize the measure of grace? Second point, let's move on. The word of the Lord is like a seed, and it grows in the power of the Holy Spirit. Second point, the word of the Lord is like a seed, and it grows in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Sitza knows how. All by itself. Did I say this was a key phrase? Hey, Thank you. The soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Okay. Now, 2,000 years ago, uneducated farmers in the by the Sea of Galilee, they did not know something that Sitza knows today. Sitza, tell us what you do for a living. You grow crops. He's an expert. He went to university for this. He knows all about it now. So this is what he knows today. A seed grows into grain-producing plant through a process of, number one, germination, number two, vegetative growth, and number three, reproductive maturation. I got this right? Say yes. Yeah, there we go. Okay? So we know how a seed, once planted, grows and becomes a tree, plant. But 2,000 years ago, they did not know that. They just knew once it's planted, it becomes a plant. Okay? The point of the parable is this, and there's one point. You don't know how a seed becomes a plant, but you know it does. So the kingdom of God is like that. You don't know how, but you know the kingdom of God is expanding, advancing, coming into your life, saving you, saving the world. You don't know how, but it does. So the key word here is all by itself. In Greek, there's only one word for this phrase. It is, say after me, automate. From which we get the English word automatic. All right? Okay? So here's the definition. All by itself portrays the effortless efficacy of God's word and power. Period. Whether nurturing an unseen harvest or swinging open an iron gate. Okay, so in Acts chapter 12, the apostle Peter was in prison. Tomorrow, the King Herod is going to behead Peter. And during the night, an angel appears before Peter. Shackles undone. And the angel said, go through the gate. And all by itself, automate, the iron gate opened. Let's continue on. The Lord acts of himself, inviting his people to labor faithfully, watch expectantly, and rest securely in his sovereign activity. That's it. So kingdom of God is like a seed planted, but it grows into a plant all by itself. And that's because God's word has such power, such sovereign acts to do miracles, performing soul-shaping activities in your spirit all by itself, automate, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit, utilizing the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Apostle Paul speaking, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. When you receive the word of the Lord, you don't know how, but it grows in you all by itself. When you share a word of the Lord to somebody, for somebody, with somebody, you don't know how, but automate, all by itself, the power of the Holy Spirit exerting the seed to germinate in you, in the people that you love. So here's a question. When you scatter the seed of the word of the Lord, do you feel discouraged because you focus in the outcome? Or do you feel confident in the automate power of the Holy Spirit? KP, remember that. Do not be discouraged. I preach to myself, Victor, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Put your confidence not in the outcome of the people, but in the automate power of the Holy Spirit. That make sense? Okay. Last point, number three. The word of the Lord is like a tiny seed, but it grows and bears a plentiful harvest. Okay? It's tiny, but it produces something magnificent. Look at verse 30. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. How small is a mustard seed? Do you know?
Oh, sit down. Yeah, you know.
Okay. Well, here's a picture of it. Let's see a little tiny dot on the index finger. That's a mustard seed. It's a speck now. It's not the smallest seed on earth. It's not. There are smaller seeds yet. But Jesus is using a hyperbole, right? Okay? You know, it's like when the Calgary Flames came into town to battle, duke it out with the Oilers. The whole town came and showed up. We don't say to the reporter, he's wrong. I wasn't there. Not the whole town showed up. Yeah? No, it's a hyperbole. So Jesus is saying, though this tiny little seed, a mustard seed, when it is planted, it becomes a mustard tree, largest in the garden. Well, here's a picture of the mustard tree. Take a look at it. Professor, doctor, could you verify that that is a mustard seed? You don't know. Humor your pastor. Say yes. Yes. Thank you. Now, hey, look. That's a big tree from this little tiny seed. So kingdom of God is like that. Word of God, you may find insignificant. It's just a word. Like right now, I'm using word. Not all that important you might feel, I might feel. But just like mustard seed, though tiny, seems insignificant, but when planted, it grows and becomes this kingdom of God through the word of the Lord. Would you write these words? The Holy Spirit advances the kingdom of God by the word of the Lord, a tiny seed. The Holy Spirit does not work apart from the word of the Lord. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, he does so according to the word of the Lord. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the author of the word of the Lord. Everything that has been put into the Holy Scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the power of the word, which is being pushed, exerted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how the kingdom of God advances. Though tiny seed, it becomes a big tree, the largest in the garden plants. I just so appreciate the power of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. God's word will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And it's the power of the word. Power of the word in the Holy Spirit. So let's land a plane. Have three applications. And give God the glory. First application, crawl. So there are three, you know, crawl, walk, and run. You decide which application. Now, the toughest part of sermon is the application, because I don't know where you are at. So these three are, you know, big ideas. But you come up with your own. You feed yourself. You're not babies anymore. Feed yourself. I think I fed you enough. Good? So application one, crawl. Would you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of your soul? My dear friends, please listen. Christ is reaching out to you. The most important decision in your life is not whom to marry, is not which job to take, but this is it. Is Jesus Christ the light of your soul, the light through which you see your soul? Would you? Application walk. Do you commit yourself to using the measure of grace? Since you receive the measure, you use the measure. Dish it out. Give it away. Promiscuously. How would you do it today and this week? Application run. Will you partner with the Holy Spirit to sow the seed of the word of the Lord and advance the kingdom of God? Would you partner with the Holy Spirit by sowing, scattering the seed of the word of the Lord? Speak it. You know, when Ava was baptized, was it last Sunday, two Sundays ago? Was it last Sunday? Was I here? Yes, I was here. She said, before the Holy Spirit worked in my life, when I was in high school and I'd be going to a youth group on Wednesday night, when my friends asked me, where are you going? She said, nowhere, nowhere. She was ashamed to say, I love Jesus, I follow Jesus. He's my God. She was ashamed of that. Now, she tells everyone. And that's because the power of the word has been planted in her. She received the word, she heard the word, and she made it grow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you partner with the Holy Spirit in sowing, scattering the seed? Okay. Quick. I have a good friend. He works in this large organization. He oversees like 300 employees. Okay, and you know, once in a while he gives these rally pep talks. Okay, and so he gets up in front of everyone, 300 people there, and he never did this before, but now he is doing it. He is sowing the seed. He said, "My dear friends, you got time, you got talents, and you got treasure." He's talking the word of the Lord, okay? But he applies that in his work setting, okay? But he doesn't force it. He kindly, graciously dishes it out. And then someone came up to him, said, "Boss, 2 years ago, I was going through that hard time, and you brought me into your office, and you told me ABC, and my friend had no idea. Couldn't remember what he said. But the man said, that was so encouraging. My life is turned around. So thank you. What is my friend doing? He is scattering the seed the way he knows how. Not unknowingly, not like a jerk, but graciously, kindly. So my biggest problem, challenge in ministry is when people don't change. I preach the word. You don't remember what I preached last week. You know why? Because I didn't preach last week. You don't remember what I preached the week before. But that's okay. That's okay. The word of God is being planted. And guess what, my friends? The greatest joy for me in ministry is when I see you being transformed by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit in the word. And that's why you come here every Sunday. And that's why you come into your weekly house church. And that's why you should be in the word of God every day, every morning, to receive it so that the kingdom of God may advance in you. Pray with me. Lord God, Father in heaven, a fallen sinner, I have spoken your holy word this morning. Now, come Holy Spirit, I do what I can do, which is to scatter the seed. Now it's up to you to make it grow, Holy Spirit. May everyone in this room hear the word and receive the word. May everyone in this room commit himself or herself to the word of God each day, every day, in small bites, bite sizes, Lord, and make it grow, make it grow. Because at the end, yet not I, but through Christ in me, you accomplish it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this is why we labor. We labor on in weakness and we rejoice, because it's not, yet not I, but Christ, through Christ in me. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Please